Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, I can't get over it. So low, I can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Jesus' love is very wonderful. Oh, wonderful love. So high, can't get over it. So low, can't get under it. So wide, can't get round it. Oh, wonderful love.
Hello and welcome to another Holy Half Hour here on 3TFM, your local radio station, with me, the Reverend Alec Noble, Minister of Saltcoats North Parish Church. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope we can reward your faith in us by playing you some wonderful music in between some interesting, informative and inspiring chat. This programme is part 6 in a series about people who have improved our world. So far, we've had programmes about inventors, artists, filmmakers, musicians, and people who think outside the box. This Holy Half Hour is all about people of faith. Well, we all need faith to get up in the morning, faith to believe that it's worthwhile plodding on, and faith to keep persevering in the face of setbacks. Faith in that sense is very wide, but of course it can be very specifically focused faith, like faith in Jesus. In the wider sense of faith, I've always been impressed by Thomas Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, amongst many other things. He took 10,000 attempts to invent the light bulb. Halfway through that, his wife suggested that he try another hobby. But no, he had faith that he was onto something. It was just a matter of trial and error before he would crack it. He felt that he knew thousands of ways in which a light bulb did not work, but he was closing in and finding a way to make it work. His faith was eventually rewarded. Isn't that beautiful, inspirational, and a parable of life for all of us? Thomas Edison, by exercising his faith, was one of the most successful inventors ever in history, notching up a total of 1,093 patents. He just kept on pushing himself and his ideas, and he ended up inventing lots of things which have significantly changed the world, such as the light bulb, the phonograph, an early music player, the motion picture camera called a kinetoscope, and an electrical power distributing system. He skillfully marketed his inventions and used the profits to fund his research laboratory. Faith can also be practical and have its head screwed on, you see. He was born into an age of steam, but by the time of his death, he had transformed the world into an electrical age. Interestingly, Thomas Edison, who was born in Ohio in the USA, had very little formal education. In fact, he was expelled from school because his teachers thought that he was retarded. The truth was that he suffered from hearing problems throughout his life. As a young man, he worked on the telegraph section of the railways during the American Civil War. And age 22, he invented the duplex telegraph, which allowed several messages to be transmitted at the same time, and a printer which converted the electrical signals into letters. He improved the telephone as well. He formed the Edison Electric Light Company in 1878 and famously declared, "We will make electricity so cheap that only the rich will burn candles." Now there's a statement of faith, and it has come true. In 1880 came his most important invention. He patented a system for the distribution of electrical power, which enabled the electrification of whole cities and eventually the whole world. By 1887, there were 121 Edison power stations in America. Edison was very successful because he was highly intelligent, but he was also very hard-working, and he had great faith to persevere with his experiments. He famously said, "Genius is 1% inspiration and 99% perspiration." And the Bible adds that success comes by both faith and action. So in the light of all this, I feel I just have to play this song from a CD entitled Songs of Inspiration.
I wandered so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light, I saw the light, I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. Sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow the way. Now I have traded wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light. I saw the light. No more darkness, no more night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
And another man of faith, but faith of a very different kind, is Mohandas Karamchand Gandhi, known as Mahatma Gandhi, the leading figure in India's independence from the British Empire. He achieved his aims by using passive resistance. In reply, the British authorities repeatedly imprisoned Gandhi in 1922, 1930, 1933, and 1942, hoping to break his spirit. They failed, and Gandhi is seen now as a hero and model of what can be achieved by peaceful protest. Mohandas Gandhi was born in the state of Gujarat in West India. In 1888, he travelled to London to study law. He returned to Mumbai, it was then called Bombay, to start his own law practice. However, it failed, so instead, he accepted a one-year contract to work for an Indian law firm in South Africa's Natal province. The injustices against Indians in South Africa by the apartheid regime awakened in Gandhi a burning desire to fight racism and social injustice. So he founded the Natal Indian Congress in 1894 to unite the Indian community into a political force. His policy of non-resistance was ignored by the authorities, who attacked, jailed and shot protesters. However, their brutality eventually backfired, and an embarrassed South African government had to negotiate a compromise. In 1915, Gandhi returned to India and joined the Indian National Congress Party. which campaigned for freedom from British rule. By 1921, he was the party's spiritual leader, and he encouraged everyone to boycott British-made goods and concentrate on local Indian ones instead. He preached non-violent passive resistance and started a campaign of mass civil disobedience. He gave up wearing Western clothes and took to wearing simple homespun Indian garments. He and his followers wove their own cloth. His policy of non-cooperation with the British included strikes, refusing to pay taxes, and refusing to respect colonial law. Gandhi commanded huge influence and respect across India, and so was given the name Mahatma, which means great soul. He led the Quit India movement during the Second World War, which was ruthlessly suppressed by the British. Indian independence, when it finally came in 1947, soon saw civil war between Hindus and Muslims, and this led to the setting up of Muslim Pakistan and East Pakistan, now Bangladesh, and on the other hand, Hindu India. It was a bitter split, and almost 1 million people got killed in the process. Gandhi began his last fast unto death in an effort to stop the violence. In 1948, there was an assassination attempt on Gandhi's life, which he survived, but just 10 days later, a Hindu fanatic assassinated him in New Delhi. Gandhi was a man of great moral courage, and he won the admiration of millions of people in India and even more millions around the world. He's one of the best examples ever of peaceful but forceful protest, the power of passive resistance.
So strong, I know that I can make it. Though you're doing me wrong, so wrong. You thought that my pride was gone. No, no. Something inside so strong.
And the mantle of being a champion of passive resistance passed from Gandhi to a very charismatic and effective Baptist minister named Martin Luther King Jr., who led the American civil rights movement in the 1950s and 60s. We have made a whole Holy Half-Hour program about Martin Luther King, which I commend to you. But let me just say a few things just now. His passive resistance ended the legal segregation of black and white people in America and gained him personally the Nobel Peace Prize in the same year, 1964. Martin Luther King organized a year-long black boycott of the buses in Montgomery, Alabama, after Rosa Parks was arrested for refusing to give up her seat on a bus to a white man. It worked. Segregation on the buses was declared illegal. He went on to organize peaceful protest marches all over America. He was arrested many times and often violently attacked, but he and the movement would not be suppressed, although he did get assassinated in 1968. But he caught the imagination of the whole country and the whole world with his famous I Have a Dream speech in 1963 in Washington, D.C. Here's a bit of that speech.
I still have a dream.
Yes.
It is a dream deeply rooted in the American dream.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day,
yes,
this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal.
Yes.
I have a dream that one day on the red hills of Georgia, the sons of former slaves and the sons of former slave owners will be able to sit down together at the table of brotherhood. I have a dream that one day, even the state of Mississippi, a state sweltering with the heat of injustice, sweltering with the heat of oppression, will be transformed into an oasis of freedom and justice. I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day, down in Alabama with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right there in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be exalted, and every hill and mountain shall be made low, the rough places will be made plain, and the crooked places will be made straight, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is a faith that I go back to the South with. With this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into a beautiful symphony of brotherhood. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. This will be the day when all of God's children be able to sing with new meaning, my country, tears of thee.
Yes.
Sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing.
Oh, yes.
Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride.
Yes.
From every mountainside, let freedom ring. And if America is to be a great nation, this must become true. And so let freedom ring.
Yes.
And we just have to play the anthem of the civil rights movement, sung by another leading figure in it, Joan Baez.
We shall be all right.
You are listening to the Holy Half Hour on 3TFM as we consider people who have improved the world, and this program is focusing on people of faith who have improved the world, because it's changed people who change the world. For example, Saul of Tarsus being in what we now call Turkey, had the original Damascus Road experience, and his life was turned round, and in the end he becomes St. Paul. The leading persecutor of the Christians became the leading missionary for the Christians. In being struck blind by God, his eyes were opened and he saw everything in a new light. In turn, he helped others to see the light, and his influence continues even to this day. Our next song is by Albert Bogle, singing about life-turning transformations. We can live facing one direction, holding certain beliefs, attitudes and opinions, and then suddenly, on our own Damascus roads, or very gradually over the years, we can find ourselves turned to very different, even opposite directions, holding different beliefs, attitudes and opinions. That is both exciting and scary. And it's very important which way we are facing, because it is the faith by which we live. We travel in the direction we're facing. So hopefully we are people who improve the world because we are living in the right direction.
I remember the evil destruction. How long? And I sang along with "Give Peace a Chance Now." No war. No one stands alone forever. A candle in the wind. When the cold, cold nights of evening comes, turn. I was walking down the streets of Memphis. Elvis, but I never met the king in Graceland. So sad, too bad. No one stands alone forever. A candle in the wind, with the blue, blue tune of a gospel song. Turn. I was dreaming with my brother Martin. Freedom. But I woke up to resurrection. Heaven. No one stands alone forever. A candle in the wind. When the bright red sun the morning dawns, turn. Oh, turn. Oh, turn.
One of the best examples of a changed life, which went on to change the world, is Martin Luther, after whom Martin Luther King was named. The original Martin Luther lived in the 15th and 16th centuries, 1483 to 1547 to be precise. He was born in what we now call Germany. He was a monk and a priest and a lecturer to monks and priests. However, he gradually got more and more upset at church beliefs and practices. He pinned up a list of 95 grievances on the church door at Wittenberg in October the 31st, 1517. I mention that date specifically because you will notice that it is exactly 500 years ago. Interesting, but so what? Well, it's claimed that his action started off the reformation of the church, and of society, a reformation that still has rippling consequences to this day. He is the original archetypal Protestant reformer, the lone voice willing to stand up and be counted, taking on all the powers that be, both the church and the state. He did reform them both. He did a lot for the German language by translating the Bible into the people's own language, and for German national identity too. He did support the peasants' revolt, the working class. But much more than these things, he recaptured an appreciation of God's love and grace and mercy when they had been lost sight of. His own personal life beautifully demonstrates what he was striving to preach. He transformed personally from a celibate monk into a married man with 6 kids. He married a nun. She changed a lot as well. He started off paralyzed with guilt for all his sins and his unworthiness. He was obsessed with it. But he ended up released and free to enjoy God's love and grace and mercy. He, like Paul, completely transformed and changed and turned around, and the changed individual went on in his newfound faith to change the world for the better. This is what this series of programs have been all about. People who improved the world by their faith. I should just add that they would slightly correct me at this point. They would say that it's not all down to them and their faith. It's God working in their lives and through their lives, God influencing the lives of others around them, and God influencing all the rippling consequences of their actions. Well, here's a choir of 400 souls personally testifying to this in the Royal Concert Hall in Glasgow. People of faith have improved our world in every time and place. They are doing so right now, even as we speak. If it was not for them, we would all be in a mess. We rely upon the faithful plodders who do the donkey work, the people of vision and imagination, the people of sheer hard work and determination who keep on going day after day, the usually unsung heroes, the much criticised leaders, the ones willing to put their head above the parapet, the ones ready to accept responsibility. We really need you folk. If you want a very recent example, I was going to say, look at Mother Teresa, the Macedonian Albanian nun living and working in the slums of Calcutta in India, putting her faith into practical action and improving many people's lives as the founder of the Missionaries of Charity, which has spread to 123 countries now. But I would rather leave you not with one particular role model, but rather with this thought. We cannot be anybody else but ourselves. God did not mean us to be anybody else but ourselves. God has a plan and purpose for us, and the best way to live is to fulfill his plan for us. Each one of us is unique, and God's jigsaw of humanity is incomplete without our precise shape fitting into it. We're a little cog, but every little cog has its moment when everything else depends upon it doing its little contribution to the whole. So please be inspired by all the people who have improved the world, but don't try to slavishly copy them. Please admire their faith, but get your own faith for yourself. And please stick close to God so that you can find out what your vocation in life is and have supernatural help in fulfilling it. Bye for now and have a nice life. I leave you with Charlie Lansborough.
And Alice spent a great deal of her time collecting for the Church of England Children's Society. I was on a bus one day going downtown and it was bitterly cold. And who did I see on the corner but little Alice, who by this time was very ill, collecting, rattling their box, still collecting for the Church of England Children's Society. The pure goodness brought tears to my eyes. God bless you, Alice. The first verse of this song is about you, and each of the rest of the verses in this song represents somebody just like you, the everyday saints.
Her heart was like a jewel, she polished every day, with little acts of kindness as she went along her way. She was no picture for your wall. Sometimes saints don't look like saints at all. He raised her children by himself, and they were left alone. He fed their wounded hearts with love until they had their own. He seemed so insignificant and small. Sometimes saints don't look like saints at all. Saints aren't always blessed with saintly faces. Angels can be found in unexpected places. They're not that hard to recognize. You can tell them by the little bits of heaven in their eyes. Drinks too much and swears more than he should, some people say. But they don't count the precious hours of life he gives away. To help the weak and humble when they fall. Sometimes saints don't look like saints at all. Saints aren't always blessed with saintly faces. Angels can be found in unexpected places. They're not that hard to recognize. You can tell them by the little bits of heaven in their eyes. Sometimes saints don't look like saints at all.